So you weren't going in, no one was going into the wasps cold. You had to have some flying experience.
When I went in, when it first started, I understand they wanted women who had 200 hours. Then they got, I guess, everybody they could get that had 200 hours, and they didn't get any more. So then they lowered it to, I don't know what number of hours. And then later on, by the time I got in, they wanted you to have 35 hours, and so I got that.
So what kind of plane did you learn on at that air strip when you were paying
When
for it
I
to
was
fly?
paying for my own flight, I flew Luscombe. That is Luscombe.
Okay. And what's that equal to these days, like a Cessna or something or what?
Yes, lower powered Cessna.
Okay. And when you got to your training school with the Wasps, what kind of plane did they then teach you in?
We
Train one.
started out our primary training on Stearman's, which is a biplane, and I believe the horsepower was 275. That might be 375, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Probably more like 275. And
Was that quite a switch going from a regular plane to an open biplane?
yeah, but then that's what a person expected and hoped they would make it. And then in BTs, which was called, it was BT because they called it basic trainers, and the Stearmans were primary trainers. And then we had instrument training under a hood. You got in the airplane and the instructor was in the back seat, and then you pulled a hood over the glass so you couldn't see out. The instructor could see out, but we couldn't. And then we got our instrument training, and if we passed through that, okay, we went on to advanced training. Advanced was in AT-6s, and everybody loved those airplanes.
What did they look like in comparison to the first plane you learned on? Were they bigger or?
Oh, quite a bit bigger horsepower. I'm trying to think of that now. I think it was 650 or something
Quite
like
a
that.
jump,
Yeah.
yeah.
And of course, it went faster and was more complicated. It had a controllable propeller and wing flaps. And well, it was just, you could do a lot more things with it. And it was a good training plane, and it responded to the pilot, what he did, and everybody liked T-6s, including all of the men that trained on those too. And
So what was that like for her? Here's a girl, a young lady from Kansas, who couldn't even drive a car.
I didn't tell people
Well,
that.
yeah, but nonetheless, you couldn't drive a car, and here you are by 1944, you're flying this relatively advanced plane. How did you feel as you were up there?
Well, I just hoped all the time that I wouldn't do anything stupid and that I would stay in the program until I graduated and became a WASP and was sent someplace to do some kind of work that would help the war effort.
And you did that.
Yes.
When did you graduate from the program?
September 1944. I believe it was September 7th.
Okay. And before we move on to the next part of your career there, what was the best thing that you recall about the training?
Well, I was doing night flying, and the thought of it really scared me. I thought maybe I might not make it, you know. And so I was out in the plane with my instructor, and we went around the field several times, and I found out that it wasn't as terrifying at night as I thought it would be. And so he said, "Taxi up here and then stop." And so I did, and he got out of the airplane and he said, "Now go on around, go on around four times, and I'll be waiting down here by the side of the runway. So you look for me after you land." And then he said, "Now go on around." And I said, "You mean you're not going with me?" He said, "Oh hell, Rex, you're okay."
And were you?
Well, yeah, I did. It all turned out fine.
Good for you.
Did you ever learn how to drive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned how to drive, I think, in 1946, after I got a car. I got the car before I knew how to drive, but I was pretty sure by then that I could learn how. But so after I got the car, when they told me it had arrived, and I said, "Well, could you please have somebody take it out to the airport?" Because I was working out there at the time for the Federal Aviation Agency. And just leave it out there. And I guess I told them to leave the key under the mat or something. And they said, "Okay." So they left it out there. And I was kind of interested and kept watching for it. And then somebody came into the place where I worked and told me it was there and handed me the key, or maybe they did leave it under the mat.
What kind of car was it? Was it a
A full,
convertible Sportster?
I think it was a Ford convertible.
Really? Yeah,
Not that I really wanted one or had ordered one, but you took what you could get at that time.
it's probably only appropriate that this flying ace woman pilot, well, you weren't a flying ace, but this exciting woman pilot, her first car should be a convertible. It's only appropriate, don't you
Well,
think?
I didn't know it was the most expensive kind that I could get, but the girl that had ordered it had already gotten a car at some other place. And so she told me I could have her place on the list for $100 because she had had to pay that much to get on the list. So I said, "Well, okay." And I paid her and I got on the list, and then I was notified that my car had arrived. And so since I didn't wasn't able to go get it and drive it home or where I worked, I asked them to leave it out there. So they did, and I had to leave it out there for 3 days before I could get it home. And I had to get some fellow from the air, if he would drive my new car home. Well, then he said, well, he would. So he drove it out to my house when we both were on the same shift and got off at the same time. Then when he got out there, I lived beyond the end of the bus line. And he had to walk 2 blocks to get to the end of the bus line, then wait for the bus to get himself home.
But so did he then teach you how to drive, or did you learn on your own?
No, I just learned on my own. And I had a cousin that had moved into town recently, and I told him, and he taught me more or less how to drive.
We'll get back to your car in a few minutes, and that's because that'll be after your career. So that was your best memory of your time in training. What was your worst bad time of your training? Do you remember anything offhand?
Well, I remember one time being very apprehensive as to whether or not I was going to make it all the way through, because I had gotten what was considered a notice that your performance was unsatisfactory. It was a pink slip from your instructor. So then that meant that you had to get a check ride from the director of training there, a civilian, and if he passed you, then you got another check ride from an Army check pilot, and then if he passed you, you were okay to continue training. And so I passed my check rides, and so I could go continue my training. But I was very apprehensive and scared.
But you made it through.
But I made it through.
So when you got out in September, and they sent you to, what was the name of the base again?
Eagle Pass.
And that's where? In
Texas.
Okay.
It's right on the border, practically, of Texas and Mexico.
Oh, okay. Now, what about that? What you told us earlier, what your job was, pulling targets and ferrying officers here and there. Did you enjoy that? Did that satisfy your desire to feel that you were serving in the war?
Yes, it did. I did quite a bit of flying, and when we had to go once a month down to operations and sign something, because the people in operations kept track of everybody's time, the total time you had.
Take a drink. Have a drink.
And I think I have a chocolate pudding deficiency.
Oh. We'll deal with that afterwards. Okay, so go ahead. You had to go sign something.
We had to sign that we had seen, the figures that they had for us and so on. And so I went to sign mine. I don't remember the number
it's okay. It's fine.
Hours I had. But this sergeant who was doing all those numbers, he said, "Do you know that you have more time this month than anybody on the field?" And I did not know that, and I wasn't trying to do that or anything. I just liked to fly. And we were supposed to keep track of our time individually, too. So then we would take it to see if our figures matched up with theirs.
So was that a good thing that you had more hours? Were they complaining that you had more hours or what?
No, not really.
So it was a good thing.
It was.
Good. And what about, so You stayed at that one base then for the duration of the war?
Yes, I was not sent any place else, and I was glad that I wasn't. Some of the girls got transferred around here and there, but whether they had applied for transfer or not, I do not know. But I liked it fine where I was.
How did people see you? I mean, now you're serving, so you're at your assigned base, but you're able to go, presumably you're able to go out into town or whatever the nearest town is, and were people aware of who you were and what you were doing, and how did they react to a woman doing this?
Oh, they liked it fine, at least by the time I got there, because they considered it just a part of the activity on the base, and I guess it was good for the town, the community, and so on. But they were happy with all that. I never ran into much male discrimination, just a little bit once in a while.
And how about other women? Were they thrilled that women were doing this, or what?
Well, they liked it. I don't know if they were thrilled or not, but they liked it enough to stay in it. After the program was discontinued altogether at the end of that year, a few stayed in flying, but most of them did not because they didn't have their own airplane. And they're just, it didn't exist.
The possibilities didn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the program ended at the end of 44 or 45?
44.
44, okay. And so you were down there in Texas. When it ended, how did you react, first of all, when you found out that the program ended?
We were devastated, I think all of us, because none of them were aching or trying to get out because we were enjoying flying, no matter what kind of duty we had. We liked it. We were not thinking about that all the time, like, oh, I like this, but we did like it, and that's why we felt so. It's just like somebody stuck a pin in a balloon when we heard they were going to discontinue the program, and they did.